The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the SMA Flash Briefings.
From Embracing My Inner Alien, a column by Kevin Schaefer. Around the corner from my house, there's a shopping mall that stood as an iconic symbol of my small hometown for decades. It's across the street from the high school my sister and brother-in-law went to, and it's also situated near my go-to Barnes & Noble store, as well as some of my family's favorite restaurants. When we were kids, my siblings and I went to this mall all the time. We'd eat at the food court, spend countless hours at the Disney store, and wait in line to see Santa every December. The mall was also a regular spot for church youth group hangouts during the summertime. Several friends in this circle held jobs at places inside the food court. In recent years, however, the mall has transformed from having the atmosphere of Kevin Smith's Mallrats to feeling more like the apocalyptic setting of George Romero's Dawn of the Dead. Even before the current global health crisis decimated numerous businesses and shopping centers, this place was already in a state of rapid decline. Stores were closing left and right, and not even the Burger King inside the food court survived. A couple weeks ago, I read an article stating that the mall would be demolished in February of next year. An assortment of apartment complexes and small businesses would take its place. News of its official demise came as no surprise, but it was still a bit of a gut punch to read that headline. It felt like a piece of my childhood was being smashed into smithereens. In recent years, I've gone to this mall for two primary purposes: perusing the FYE store for Blu-rays and collectibles, and meeting up with other friends in the SMA and muscular dystrophy communities. I'd often do both on any given visit. During and after college, I developed friendships with several other wheelchair users in my area who are also around my age. Anjar, Noah, Mason, and I forged a friendship, and the mall provided a solid meeting location for our band of disabled dudes. Whereas it can be difficult to fit four or more wheelchairs into restaurants, the spacious food court was perfect for us. Amid all of the pizza and chicken sandwiches we ate, what we treasured the most was the deep and meaningful conversations we shared. We talked about life, our trials and triumphs, geek stuff, planning for the future, relationships, and plenty more. While it's true that a shared disability between two people doesn't automatically make them friends, it helps to spend time with others who get it and who can truly empathize with you. One of my fondest memories of the good old Cary Town Center took place about 5 years ago. My lifelong neighbor put me in touch with a friend from her high school named Chris, who had a form of MD. Chris wanted to talk with me about college, and he expressed interest in applying to the school that I attended. We hit it off right away, and I loved this guy's humor, spirit, and popularity with the ladies in his class. The dude was a younger me. Right off the bat, I pictured a bright and prosperous future for him. Sadly, life doesn't always play out the way we envision it. Only a few months later, I found out that Chris suffered a bad fall in his home, and unfortunately passed away on a Tuesday morning. I had just seen him a few days earlier at a power wheelchair hockey game, which he played in with my friend Jonathan. I felt only shock and devastation. Even though I had only met Chris a few times, he had a profound impact on my life. To this day, I still have his phone number in my contacts. One of the greatest lessons I've gleaned from living with SMA is that change is natural, and you have to be willing to adapt to it. Between disability progression, rotating caregivers, and using new assistive technologies, my life is a never-ending whirlwind of change and adaptation. I'll miss the old mall, but the memories I have there will stay with me. I'm Kevin Schaefer, columnist and forums director for SMA News Today.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today forums moderator, Deanne Runge.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Deanne Runge, SMA News Today forums moderator and vlogger. One of our columnists, Brianna Albers, is seeking EverisD. She hasn't been to a neurologist in years. In her latest column, The EverisD Chronicles, Waiting for a Diagnosis, she writes about her frustrating appointment. It reminded me of when I saw Spinraza. Here's her article. Let me set the scene. It's 9 a.m. I've been awake since 6. My poor sweet dad has been up since 5:30. We've been preparing for this gut punch of a medical appointment for weeks. But even so, neither of us are particularly thrilled with our lives right now. I want nothing more than to crawl back into bed. We've been sitting in the waiting room for half an hour, which is fine. I'm used to long waits, but I'm especially congested today. I meant to take some Advil before we left, but it slipped my mind, which means I'm in for a long day of sinus pressure. I want to say I'm used to the pain, but it still makes me grumpy. I sigh. I refresh Instagram because I'm weirdly obsessive about watching every Instagram story. The clinic is eerily quiet. Is it always this empty in the morning, or is it more COVID-19 nonsense? I keep flashing back to early mornings at the hospital, waiting for a nurse to call me back for pre-op. My mind knows that I'm here to see a neurologist in the hopes of starting Evrysdi, Risdiplam, but my heart thinks I'm headed for certain anesthesia-related doom. Still nothing. Instagram is giving me FOMO. I switched to Twitter because one of my Q4 goals is to tweet once a day. My timeline is full of political angst. I sigh again, closing the app. I'm just about to open a book when they call me back. I haven't seen a neurologist in years. I have no idea what to expect. So I sit through the intake interview, wishing the developers of medical software would figure out a way to sync my medication list across providers. Are you still taking fluoxetine? Yes. Cetirizine? Yes. A medication from years ago that I can't spell to save your life? No, not anymore. What do you like to do? You'd think I'd be used to this question after 25 years of medical appointments, but it still strikes me as odd. What does that have to do with anything? I get the questions about smoking, recreational drug use, and sexual activity, but the leisure recreation question always catches me off guard. I do what I can, isn't that enough? I stumble through my answer. I read, watch TV, play video games, hang out with friends. Dad mentions my book and my master's degree in community care, which piques the nurse's interest. Disabled folks with graduate degrees really aren't that rare, but we sure are treated like a special case. Finally, the first of two doctors comes in. When I mention Evrysdi, he gives me a blank look. In his defense, I do butcher the pronunciation, but it raises more than one red flag. My dad looks at me and I shrug because it's 9:15 a.m., my head is pounding, and I'm more than ready for my requisite post-appointment bundt cake. The doctor looks me over, tests my non-existent reflexes, excuses himself purportedly to fetch doctor number two. Finally, after 15 minutes, both doctors step inside. Doctor number two gets straight to the point. I'm not saying you don't have SMA, but we need to verify your diagnosis before proceeding. What about the genetic test I had when I was a baby? They can't find the paperwork. Doctor number two says it again and again, and once more for good measure. I'm not saying you don't have SMA, but... My mind recognizes that medical records are a mess. Insurance will deny my claim if I don't have evidence of my diagnosis. It's best practice, probably, and I'm overreacting because I've been up since 6 a.m., but my heart feels vaguely like I'm being gaslit. Of course I have SMA, what else could it be? Doctor number two ends the appointment by referring me to a genetic specialist. He's not familiar with SMA, so he's going to transfer me to the pediatric side of the clinic. I'm disappointed. I've been waiting for an oral medication for years, ever since Spinraza, nusinersen, was announced, and I had to accept the fact that my spinal rods pretty much precluded me from treatment. And I'm more than annoyed. I got up at 6 a.m. for something that could have easily been done via video call. No one can find the results of my genetic test. I'm going to spend the next several weeks being shuffled between medical professionals, only to get up at 6 a.m. for another in-person visit that probably could have been done virtually. Doctor number two says a genetic specialist and a scheduler from the pediatric side of the clinic will be in touch. It's been a week and a half, and they still haven't found the results of my genetic test. I haven't received a phone call from the pediatric side of the clinic. I still have a sinus headache, and I'm still tired. Thanks for sharing this, Bree. Although everyone's experience is unique, I'm sure many, such as myself, can relate. Best of luck with your quest. Keep us posted. That's all I have for you today. Stay safe, stay healthy, and have a good day, everyone. We'll talk again soon.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.